The Federal Acquisition Regulations Council, the FAR Council, has issued a rule mandating the greening of federal procurements, and that means agency buyers have to specify energy-saving or recycled products whenever possible. The FAR Council expects federal construction projects to be among the most affected. Well, joining us for a view of how construction contractors see it is Marco Giamondino. He's Senior Director of Federal and Heavy Construction at the Associated General Contractors of America. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tom.
All right. So how will this FAR change affect construction contracts? Will it change that much? And if so, how will it change?
Well, at this point, we really don't believe it'll change a whole lot of what our members are doing right now. For what this FAR change will do is essentially codify two executive orders that have been in place both by the Obama administration and the Bush 2 administration, which both encourage the use of sustainability in construction, energy efficiency. And for as far back as 2000, when GSA started mandating LEED certification on their facilities, our members have been geared up and have been prepared and have been building facilities and facilities that meet these standards, and in many cases exceed these standards. They've got their members, their employees trained up on LEED certification. They view this as a great value, both to their companies, to the federal owners, and to the nation. And we're more than prepared to meet the goals of these new FAR changes.
Now, I see a lot of cranes on the D.C. skyline. You could see them from the Nationals Park. And so I wanted to ask you about commercial construction and how the demands there for green and LEEDs. Is it about the same as the federal government? Is the government behind or ahead? How do they compare?
Well, I think the government has been ahead of the curve for quite a while now, as I go back to the GSA example. But the other challenge our members have been facing nationwide, going back to as far as 2006-2007, is frankly just the downturn in the economy. The private market, with the exception really of the D.C. area and a few other pockets around the country, has been severely down over the last several years. Nationwide, we have over 2 million construction workers out of work over the past few years. And our sector has had the highest unemployment rate nationwide of all the other sectors. We hit a high of close to 27% last summer. We're currently hovering around 17-18% unemployment still at this point.
So it sounds like federal construction is really an important factor for members or any construction company, but particularly members of your trade group.
It has grown by leaps and bounds over the last several years, yes. And you couple that with that being the only market around where we've seen some investment. Of course, then you've had the Recovery Act dollars, which is now starting to wind down. So we're starting to see a little bit of a drop there again as those projects start to wind down. And then, of course, the recent budget trouble. We saw some pretty severe cuts in the FY11 deal, and FY12 is not shaping up as well at this point either.
So in other words, if the government says to contractors, go green, the answer is yes, sir, how green?
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about contractors themselves. Now, there are some really big companies that you see their names on skylines that put up some of the large buildings or do the big overhaul projects, but also government uses smaller socioeconomic vendors, too, for construction. Is the level of expertise in green and sustainable construction even across contractors by size?
I think as contractors, as these new requirements have been put in place over the last several years, contractors of all sizes have been able to respond, and they want to be up to speed on the latest rules and regulations, particularly in the federal market. There's so many rules that a contractor needs to be aware of, and there's so many demands that they need to meet because of these federal rules, that contractors of all sizes, they view it as good for the environment, they view it as good for their company, and they view it as meeting the needs of the owner, so in this case the federal government. So what they'll do is they'll go through the training, they'll do the research that they need to do to make sure that their team, no matter how large or small, can meet the demands.
And I wanted to also ask about rehab, because the GSA is doing a lot of rehab or retrofitting of buildings. I guess there's an opportunity for sustainability and greater energy savings in those types of projects, too. And it goes just beyond windows, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It goes through the building exterior, the environment, the interior walls, the carpeting, in some cases the paint, in some cases the type of furniture that goes in there. If it's furniture that's built into the facility, the structure itself, there's really no end in sight to the opportunity to have a more sustainable environment for these facilities.
Although I guess if it's green and sustainable, you don't get that new building smell.
Just a different kind.
All right. We're speaking with Marco Giambardino. He's Senior Director of the Federal and Heavy Construction Division of the Associated General Contractors of America. Now, one provision in the FAR Council's rule has to do with how bids are submitted, and it's saying that wherever possible they should be electronic, but if not, there's certain specifications for how they do it on paper. And that has a big effect on construction, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does in the sense that our members don't bid electronically across the board. They're still hand-delivered in many cases or overnighted bids. These are, what's unique about construction is all the different aspects of the project that have to get pulled together by the general contractor, and that's bids from their suppliers, bids from their subcontractors, their other specialty contractors, and a lot of that bidding takes place right up until the last minute or two before the bid is due, and a lot of it's handwritten and delivered right there at the site where the documents are due, and they usually are hand-delivered. In this case, what's interesting about the FAR clause is it essentially codifies a requirement to have not just recycled paper as part of as the paper you use when you hand in your bids, but it has to be double-sided. It has to be 30% post-consumer fiber wherever practicable. So I think it looks like the one challenge is for our members to make sure that they meet these requirements, and they're going to have to be kind of careful about what type of paper they're buying.
And they might have to buy some new printers that can go on both sides.
Could very well be. And I guess the challenge there is, I guess the key clause there is wherever practicable. And the question we're going to have to look into is this, since this just came out on Tuesday, is what is the downside of, or what is the effect of, if somehow, who's going to examine this paper, and what does it all mean if somebody erroneously hands in simply just recycled paper?
I can just see them now assaying the paper before they accept the bid. Probably
exactly.
Won't get that far. But looking at the bigger picture, over the years, what is the experience that contractors have found, and therefore the customers have found, on the cost impact of sustainable and green construction? I mean, does it drive up the costs of projects? Does it make them go down? What do you see there?
Well, the research is not terribly conclusive at this point. We have seen some increase in costs, and the range is anywhere from as little as 2% to about 8%. And it all depends on, again, the type of equipment that the owner wants in the building, how green the owner wants the building to be, whether it's just LEED silver, LEED gold, LEED platinum, the types of the different types of equipment that's used to meet these demands as well. And the other issue in terms of cost is there's little to no data at this point as to what is the savings to the owner, or in this case, what's the savings long-term going to be for the federal government. And that's fairly inconclusive at this point.
Yeah, because a lot of the stories I've read over the past few years say that landlords or owners of buildings find that LEED certification is a selling point in getting tenants.
It is a huge point. It's a very huge pride of ownership for the owner, whether they're a private owner or a public owner. They proudly have that plaque displayed on the entrance of their building, and it's something that they do look at something as even part of the resale value of the building if it's in the private market down the line.
All right, so it sounds like overall, though, the contractors that serving the federal government expected this rule and seemed prepared for it. Was that how you'd summarize it?
They certainly are. In fact, I talked to some of our members yesterday, and they all had said, well, this seems to be what we've already been doing for the last several years. We're going to carefully look at the details of the other FAR clause changes that are in this proposal, and we're going to be sure that we comment within the next 60 days. The comment period is due August 1st.
Marco Giambardino is Senior Director for Federal and Heavy Construction at the Associated General Contractors of America. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.